get you home.
Who did this?
That's the card.
We have to go back up tomorrow. And they're not gonna go up there without you. Help me.
You'll have to trust me.
You better come home to me.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more.
Today, we're going to be talking about the true story of Desmond Doss. Now, before I get started, many people have asked me over the years, why would you use a movie like Hacksaw Ridge to preach and teach on an Easter Sunday morning? And I think it's the best way I can say is that Jesus, who even everybody who, even those who are atheists and do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, can agree on this one principle. They say that Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived. He was such a great teacher. And one of the things that we know that Jesus taught in stories, we call them parables in the Bible, but oftentimes he was painting this picture of stories that people could relate to. He talked about farmers, and he talked about those who worked in the vineyards. He talked about women who cleaned their house, and he talked about father-son and strained relationships and father-brother relationships. A lot of relationships. He talked about ways and stories that people could understand kingdom principles, and they could understand it in a practical way. And this is what using clips from a movie like Hacksaw Ridge allows me to do. It allows us to paint a different picture, to give the gospel in a different way that you can relate and see it, and maybe see it differently in your life. Today we're talking about Desmond Doss. And Desmond was a World War II hero. He was the first person to ever receive a Medal of Honor for saving 75 men. He saved 75 men on the ridge of Hacksaw Ridge. And he did it all without ever carrying a gun, without ever shooting a gun. And so he's the first person to ever do that. Because he did that, though, he was ridiculed because he had a life that he said, you know what, I'm not going to shoot a gun, I'm not going to carry a gun. Because when he was early on in his childhood, he almost killed his brother. And then later on, he almost even killed his father and thought about it because his father was so abusive to him. And he read in the Bible that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And so he felt like God told him to personally that he shouldn't carry a gun or ever even pick up a gun again, at least not fire it. And so he held true to that. But when the war came and World War II came, he decided, you know what? Other guys are signing up to fight. My brother's signing up to fight. And all the guys in my town are signing up to fight. I've got to serve my country, and I want to go and serve my country. And so he decided he was going to save lives, not take them. He said, I'll be a medic. I'll go and help rescue people, and I can do that without having to actually carry a gun. And so he had a time where he wanted to go tell his father. Now, his father was a veteran of World War I and had lost most of his friends and his troop, full of troop, in World War I. And there's a scene where he's in the Memorial Cemetery there, his father is, and he's, of course, his father had become very abusive. His father become very traumatic because of the experience he suffered in the loss of World War I. He came home a messed up person. And so we see where Dez was telling his father that now he's going to enlist and become a medic in the Army. I want you to see this clip.
Mama said, come see you here.
These three were my best friends. I grew up with them. I got into trouble with them, chased girls with them. I enlisted with them. Now my friends are there, covered in dirt and grass and eaten by worms. I don't want to have to visit my sons here.
Daddy, I signed up already. I couldn't do otherwise, Pop. Everybody else is doing
it. You ain't everybody else. Like everybody else jumps in, does things quick without thinking like the idiot fools we were. You know, and soldiers who live, they live because they can do that. You can't. Like you got to sit and think and pray about everything. I mean, look at you. You're doing it right now. You won't be able to live with yourself if you go.
No, I won't be able to live with myself if I don't. I'm going to be a medic. And that's going to be my way to serve.
See, there you go, thinking it all out. But you figure this war is just going to fit in with you? Your ideas?
Well, I don't doubt it's going to be hard.
It won't be hard, it'll be impossible. You know, whatever beliefs you have in your crazy head now, they won't ever play out. It don't work that way. And if by some, I don't know, miracle chance you survive, you won't be given no thanks to God.
You see, many times when we decide to follow our heart and to follow the convictions, we're going to be ridiculed. And I will tell you this today, that many people, when they decide to follow Jesus for the first time, that people aren't going to understand. They feel like someone's calling them, that God's calling them to give their life to Him and surrender their life. But yet, there's going to be people around you who don't understand that. And they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to talk to you and say, oh, you're not that way. You're never meant to be a Christian. You can't serve God. And out of fear of knowing that when you decide you're going to go to a different level, and you decide you're going to straighten yourself out, and you decide you're going to take a step up, you say, no, I've got to have more class about me. No, I got to have some conviction about me. No, I got to decide I want to do things right. I want to live my life with purpose, with meaning. I realize that if I don't surrender my life to Jesus, it has no purpose, no meaning. And when you make that decision, the Bible says as a Christian, we got to learn to pick up our cross daily. And that means is simply this. What happened on the cross? They crucified Jesus on the cross. And so that means every day we pick it up, and people aren't always going to understand when you make a decision to follow Christ. Some of your friends, they won't understand. And sometimes even your family won't understand when you make a decision to follow Jesus. So we see where Dez decides to enlist. He enlists. He's going through basic training. And he's excelling at one of the top in his class at everything. And then when it gets to learning to shoot the rifle on the rifle range, he tells the sergeant, "Sergeant, I can't do that. I made a promise to God I wouldn't shoot a gun. I'm going to support the war. I'm here to help support the guys as a medic in the war. But I personally cannot shoot a gun because I made a promise to God I wouldn't do that." And of course, the sergeant, being like, how can you be in the army and not shoot a gun? He goes, that's crazy. That's crazy. And so as he went to higher command, and they tried to do so many things to stop him, finally his sergeant brings him in front of all the squad and begins to tell the squad exactly what Desmond is doing. He decided not to carry a gun. Look at this.
Gentlemen, I want you to meet Private Desmond Doss. Apparently, Private Doss does not believe in violence. He does not practice violence. He will not even deign to touch a weapon. You see, Private Doss is a conscientious objector. So I plead with you, do not look to him to save you on the battlefield, because he will undoubtedly be too busy wrestling with his conscience to assist.
Sarge, that's not true,
Private,
Sarge.
As you were. Now, I realize some of you might have strong feelings about this. It is what we men fight for, to defend our rights and to protect our women and children, even if Private Doss's beliefs might cause women and children to die. So I will expect everyone in this company to give Private Doss the full measure of respect he is due for the short time he will be with us. Am I clear?
Yes, Sergeant!
So we see something happening here where Dez begins to get ridiculed. Dez begins to get misunderstood. His sergeant is painting the picture to his whole troop there, his whole squad, that Dez doesn't care about you. Dez doesn't want to help you. Dez doesn't want to save you. And Dez is like, that's not the truth. I'm willing to do it without a gun. I'm willing to put my life on the line without a gun. And so he's being misunderstood. He's being ridiculed. You know, Jesus did the same thing. It says that when Jesus came, that his own people rejected him. That many of his own rejected him because they thought that God was going to send a political king, a political Messiah, and they didn't realize that we didn't need a political Messiah sent. We needed the spiritual Messiah. They didn't realize that He was bringing a new spiritual kingdom, not a political kingdom. And so they rejected his message. Oh, no. Well, God's sending us. He's sending us a king who's going to bring a new kingdom. Not realizing that he was coming to save them. What they needed most. He knew what they needed most. He was misunderstood. Even his own family misunderstood him. We find where he's teaching in the house and he's got people crowded around the house and hanging out the windows trying to hear him teach, accepting and hanging on every word. And his family's outside saying, that guy's crazy. Get him out of there. Pull him out of that crowd. He's crazy. I mean, his own family was rejecting him. So Jesus understands how it is to be misunderstood. He understands how it is to be rejected. He understands when people don't understand your purpose. Because he went through that. See, people didn't realize that he came to die. He came to die that we may live. And the very ones he's trying to help are the ones who don't understand. The next clip I'm going to show you, it's a very painful clip to watch. It's a clip where his sergeant says, all right, I'm going to make it tough on everybody because you won't quit. I'm going to turn the heat up on the whole squad. We're going to run extra. We're going to do extra chores. We're going to do all these things. And hopefully your squad will put pressure on you to drop out and to quit. And it's a scene that I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy scene to watch because he gets jumped in the middle of the night. He gets beaten and gets beat up pretty bad. I want you to see this scene.
What you men fail to recognize is a unit is no better than its weakest member. Now to help you learn that lesson, there will be no passes this weekend. You will all be on KP. Right now, everybody in full gear for a 20-mile hike. Let's go! Let's go! Get your heads right! Don't start feeling sorry for yourself! It makes me sick see you feel sorry for yourself! You dogs don't know what tired is! We're gonna keep going till I drop! Come on, that's out!
Hey, look! Knock it off! Try to sleep in!
Get off of me! Okay, get off of me!
Why the hell are you still here?
As you were.
Where's Doss? This isn't good for anybody.
Sure ain't what I joined up for.
It's not about what you joined up for. It's about the lives of every man in here. And your son. It's time you quit this. Finish getting dressed and I'll walk you down. It's okay, Doss. There's no shame in this. Let's go.
I got extra guard duty today, and I'm on KP this morning, so... Can't...
All right, Doss. Private Doss, can you identify the men that beat you?
No, Sarge.
Are you saying that you don't know who attacked you?
I never said I was attacked, Sarge.
Well, what the hell are you saying, Doss? You bruised half your body sleeping.
I sleep pretty hard.
So we see the scene where he's beaten in the middle of the night. He's attacked in the middle of the night by the very men he's trying to save. All he wants to do is go into battle with these guys. He's willing to risk his life to run in to the trenches, to the heat of the battle, and save these guys who are wounded, to go into war with them and risk his life saving them, and yet they attack him and beat him in the middle of the night. The very ones he's trying to save are the ones who's beating him. You see, this is what happened to our Savior. It says that the soldiers came and they took him in the middle of the night and they brought him and they tied him up to a whipping post and they beat him. They whipped his back and ripped off the flesh off his back. They spat on him and threw him to the ground and made him carry his own cross on that same open back. Nailed him to the cross. Made him suffocate in his own body fluid as his body swelled and he gasped for air. His hands and feet nailed to the cross. The crown of thorns pushed upon his head. The very ones he came to save. The very ones he was trying to save were the very ones that were driving the nails. The ones that he was trying to save were the very ones who was whipping him. The ones that he came to save were the very ones that were saying, "Crucify, crucify, give us Barabbas, the thief, but crucifies the innocent man." The very one that he was trying to save was you and I, that while we were yet sinners and we deserved death, it says Christ died for us. And we've seen the scene where Private Doss was asked, who did this? Who beat you up? And he said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. Knowing that if he had told, those people would have been punished. They'd have been punished very severely. But they beat up one of their own. And so he refused to punish the ones that were trying to hurt him the most. You see, this is kind of the scene we see in the garden. On the cross. This is the scene we see on the cross, right? On the cross, we see where Jesus is there. They're torturing him. They're beating him. They plucked his beard. They've shoved the crown of thorns upon his head. They've nailed him to a cross. And look what Jesus says in Luke 23 on the cross. As he's hanging there on the cross, looking down at the men who are gambling for his clothes, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Father, don't punish them. Father, don't take out your wrath on them." See, the Bible says at any time he could have called down legions of angels. He didn't have to submit. He willingly submitted. And he said, "Father, forgive these guys that are whipping me. Forgive these ones that are mocking me. Forgive these ones that are nailing me to the cross. These are the ones I came to save. These are the ones I'm dying for." Now we see a scene take place. Now Das and his whole troop, they go up to Hacksaw Ridge. As they climb up Hacksaw Ridge, they get engaged in battle. And it's a bloodbath up there. People are being killed and wounded and shot. And as the enemy begins to take over and take the ground, they begin to retreat. And as they retreat, many of the men, close to 100 men, are wounded and left for dead up on the top of Hacksaw Ridge. And the ones who are left that could make it took off and retreated back down the cliff to head back out. And as Private Doss, the medic, comes out to the edge, and he's got a choice to make. Do I climb down the cliff? Do I go back into that war zone, that hell zone, and try to save someone? What do I do? And he cries out to God and asks the question that even you and I have got to ask today. God, what is it you want from me? Look at this powerful scene.
What is it you want of me? understand? I can't hear you.
What a powerful scene as he runs right into the middle of the war zone to save someone's life. As he hears the cries for help, he runs into that war zone, risking his life to save others. You know, it's kind of the same picture, I believe, we see in the garden. The night before the crucifixion, we see where Jesus went to the garden to pray. His heart was so heavy. It says as he prayed that he was such intense in his prayer that he sweat drops of blood. That's how intense the strain was upon him, because he knew in order for him to go through with God's plan of redeeming mankind, that it was going to cost him not only his life, but it was going to cost him some of the greatest pain ever imaginable to mankind. He knew he was going to be beaten, have his flesh ripped from him. He knew the cost of being nailed to the cross, and he simply had a full man moment there where he said, God, is there any other way? God, is there any other way that man can be redeemed? Is there any other way we can pull this off without me dying and going through this? And I believe, the Bible doesn't say this, but I believe, in my heart, I believe that he heard the cries of us. I believe he heard the cries. Help me, save me. And Jesus knew that without him giving his life, that he had to fulfill the work of the cross in order that you and I can be saved. That's the only way. Only way for you and I to be redeemed to the Father was that Jesus would stand in our place, give his life up for us on the cross. He took our sin. He took our mistakes and he nailed them to the cross so that as we believe in the power of the cross, it would change our life forever. I love the scene now where Dez goes back and he brings somebody out. And how's he going to get these big guys who weigh twice as much as him down this cliff into safety? He sees a tree and he grabs a rope and he engineers some things and he starts lowering these guys down one by one. Look at this scene where he uses the rope and the tree.
You're okay, buddy.
Son of a gun, this is gonna work.
One for each leg, Eric. We're gonna get you dressed up in a jiffy and get you down. I got you. I got you now, Eric. You have to trust me now, Eric. You don't have to trust me.
So we see now where he comes and takes the rope and he uses the tree to anchor and to lower them down to safety. If you think about it, that's really what happened to us, that our Savior used the tree to throw out the lifeline to you and I, that we could be brought back into safety of a relationship with the Heavenly Father. He allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. He used a tree to become the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. There is no other way. Let me tell you, Jesus isn't just one way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. It's just not about being a good person. The only way that you and I can receive the gift of being restored back to the Father and live in eternity with Him comes when we believe in the power of the cross. When we believe that Jesus died for us on the cross. None of us are good enough. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Whether you committed one sin or you've committed a million sins, doesn't matter. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all fallen short of God's standard. But the great news today is this. Is that Jesus takes the lifeline and He throws it out to us today. And anybody who believes, anybody who wants to grab that lifeline can receive help. Anybody who can grab that lifeline can receive healing. Anybody who grabs that lifeline, they can come through the power of the cross, through the power of the tree. They can come back and be restored in relationship with the Father. I can't make you climb that rope. I can't make you grab a hold of that. You got to make that decision. I had to make that decision for myself. I had to realize I can't do it on my own. I need help from the tree. I need help from what Jesus did on the cross for me. Today He throws out that lifeline to us. I love this next clip where it shows that He goes into battle. And as He goes into battle, He's out there all night long. In the middle of the darkest hour, everybody else has retreated. It's dark and people have stopped trying to fight. They've retreated. He goes back in the middle of the night and one by one, He saves 75 men off of that cliff in the middle of the darkest hour. Look at this clip.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more. Help me get one more. One more. Help me get one more. One more.
You see, this is the picture that Jesus comes to us in the middle of our darkest hour. Many times we feel like, you know what? No one cares. No one sees me. No one cares. I'm out here hurting. It's the darkest time of my life. Even though on the outside, we all look like we got it together. Many of us here today, we're sitting in a dark season of our life. We're sitting in a dark time where depression is overcoming us, where fear is trying to overtake you, where addiction is grabbing at you, where guilt over past mistakes is overwhelming you. I'm here to tell you today, this is the great story of Easter, that Jesus chose to come running to us in the darkest hours of our life. He comes running to us. He comes running to us. We're not alone, but mercy comes to us. Mercy comes running in the middle of the heat, in the middle of the battle, in the middle of our biggest mistake. Mercy comes to us. It's here. Will you receive His mercy?
Mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord.
As you're being seated, I want you to realize that there's people all over this auditorium today that if we could just take off the real mask of us, we realize we've been wounded. We've been hurt. Some of you have been hurt by religions. Some of you have been hurt by somebody else. Maybe it was a bitter divorce. Maybe it was rejection. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe today you're hurt by your own stupid mistakes. Man, I made some great mistakes in my life. I've allowed addiction to overcome my life. I've blown it in areas of my life. This is the great news about Easter today. You see, 2 Peter 2, look what it says to us. That talking about Jesus, He Himself, He bore our sins in His body on the cross, on that tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Look what it says here. By His wounds, you have been healed. You see, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, He heals those wounds. He comes running in the midnight hour. He throws out the lifeline to us and He heals us spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus heals us. This is the power of the cross today. I want to show you one last clip. It's a clip where Des goes in to save one of the people who had ridiculed him the most. He doesn't hesitate. This man can't walk. This man can't even move. He picks him up and he carries him out on his shoulders. A powerful scene. I want you to see this today.
I'm scared. I'm scared.
Let's go help the pain. No, don't you do that. Come on. Come on, Smitty, you stay with me. Let's go, we gotta move. Come on.
And this becomes the scene I want you to get from Resurrection Sunday morning. That Jesus went from being nailed to the cross. It says that He gave up His life on the cross for you and I. They took His dead body and they buried Him in the tomb. They rolled the stone over it. And it says during that 3 days that Jesus went down to death, hell, and the grave. He went to the gates of hell. And He grabbed back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he ascended back up. And when that stone, I want you to see it today, when that stone rolled away, that when Jesus come out of that grave, he was coming out of that grave, and he didn't come alone. But on us, he was carrying us on his shoulders. He was carrying us out, saying, come with me. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your sting today? No, he came out carrying us. This is the beautiful story of the resurrection, that he ascended. He's alive, yes, but he came out of that grave. He came out of that war zone, the victorious king, and he was carrying us, the ones who rejected him most, the ones who ran from him, the ones who had blown it. He was carrying us on his shoulders. But the question becomes today, will you receive the lifeline? That decision becomes a personal one that only you can make. I want you to bow your heads. I want to ask you a question, the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Because we all have to give an account for what's going to happen right now. When we stand before God, is he going to say, I know this one. Come on in. He accepted my lifeline. Or is he going to say, depart, I never knew you. You didn't. You didn't accept my mercy. You didn't accept my grace. Today, are you here? You say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus. Maybe your life's all together, but you realize it's nothing without Jesus. Maybe your life's broken and falling apart. Either way, we both need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. If you're here today, no one's looking around but me. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. We won't do anything to single you out or to embarrass you, I promise you. But we want to make sure you have a chance to respond. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus today. Can you just raise your hand and say it to me? Yeah, thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Yeah, thank you. Raise it high. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Yeah. Come on, we had several in the first service and several in this service that are making decisions to follow Jesus. If you haven't raised it right now, raise it where I can see it. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need your grace and mercy in my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer for the first time and you mend it from your heart, say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand clap. This is a big deal. Yeah, yeah. Come on, stand up, rejoice. This is a big deal today. This is why we're here. So we can throw out the lifeline. All this is so we can throw out the lifeline to you. Now listen, if you made that decision to be a Christ follower, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. I don't want to wait and see you back next Easter, okay? I should see you next week, okay? Listen to me. You can't do it alone. You got to have other troops, members come beside you and help carry you when you're not doing well, encourage you. And you need to help somebody else out who's doing the same thing. It's called being a part of the body of Christ. If you made a decision today, before you leave, back at our welcome center, my far left, we have a free Bible, some other information we'd love to give you inside that Bible, what to do next. It's our free gift to you. We'd love to give it to you. Please stop by. Receive that. Today, if you don't have a church home, come back. We'd love to have you here at Destiny. If you have a church home, go back to your church. Be a great support to them. But man, let's lift Jesus high today. Let's thank him for his cross. How many are thankful for what Jesus did on the tree for us? Are you thankful? Come on. Let's close with this song. Let's make it personal.
Surrender to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. The earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. Mm-hmm. his brow a crown of sorrow for a king whose weakness was our strength. No word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For his blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me.
Come on, give God a praise. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship Him. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for the power of the cross. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross. Lord, we give you praise. We honor you. And we say, yes, yes, Lord, we love you. How many are thankful for the cross? Are you thankful today for the resurrection power of Jesus? We love you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. You guys have a great rest of your Easter holiday. Enjoy your time. God bless you for being here.